Thank you, Coach Stack. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. You know what that music means. Every day at 2 o'clock over on 94.9, you can listen to this man's show. He's Paul Feinbaum. He joins us every Wednesday on the program, and he's brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Good morning, Paul. How are we doing?
Doing great, guys. Good morning.
Tell you what, no one should ever accuse Dave Aranda for not having, let's see, how do I clean this up for radio purposes? Having the guts, the wherewithal to do what, I mean, I got to be honest, when I saw that live, I was like, wow, it's on. What did you make of the fans storming the field? They get the fans off the field. Aranda calls a timeout and kicks a field goal against Oklahoma. Then his explanation is for point differential in tiebreakers. I was like, woo, all right.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded convoluted, but if it turned out that there was a tie and he missed it by 2 points, then his fans would be wondering, why didn't you do something? So I think it was a bold, ballsy move, and quite frankly, watching Lincoln Riley cry was the highlight of the weekend. I mean, here's a guy that runs it up against he runs it up on the scrimmage Saturday in the spring.
So it didn't bother you a bit?
No. I not in the slightest. I mean, coaches complaining is such a bad look when. Yeah, you know, some guy, you know, said, I don't know why they scored. We're up 49, down 49. I mean, just shut up. And I mean, you lost. Get out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed, they did. So their season, the committee already showed that they didn't really love them. Now you can kiss that goodbye. So we were talking yesterday. Justin Fuente is out. We got to, you know him a little bit with his days in Memphis. He's out at Virginia Tech. But more importantly, we were just discussing, like, what is that job? You know, Frank Beamer's body of work there was unbelievable when you think about all the double-digit win seasons he had at Virginia Tech. But sitting here today in late 2021 for the next guy who's going to take it over in 2022, Paul, what kind of job is that?
I think it's a pretty average, mediocre job. I mean, first of all, the recruiting base is narrow, and I'm not enough of a Virginian to know. You know, you have to go down Hampton Road and all these, the beach. I mean, there are all these weird sections of Virginia. By the way, I always used to get it confused. I always thought Virginia Tech was in West Virginia. It just sounds like it belongs in West Virginia, doesn't it? And, outside, I mean, even Frank Beamer had a rough time at the end because of recruiting. You know, if you're a player in that state, You go to North Carolina, you go to Virginia, if you're a five-star, you go to Georgia, Alabama, or somewhere else, or maybe Clemson. Unless you're part of that culture of it has to go anywhere.
I think today, trying to figure out, like, we can all come up with names, but in the end, I feel like we miss more than we get right with, you know, trying to connect the dots of who's going to be the next coach. And I know there's a lot of factors because a lot of coaches say no or what have you. So ultimately, you see all the names out there, but ultimately, who do you think they end up landing to be the next Virginia Tech coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the usual suspects are you know, go to Central Casting and dig up Jamie Chadwell and Billy Napier and all these names that keep popping up. What I think is so interesting, though, is that 6 years ago, Justin Fuente was probably the hottest coach in the country. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, South Carolina wanted him, and ultimately he said no, and they ended up looking at Kirby Smart, which ended up getting Mark Richt fired, and then I believe they hired Muschamp. So, you know, you think about hot coaches over the last 5 or 6 years. The hottest coaches have been Justin Fuente, Tom Herman, Scott Frost, and Chip Kelly. These were number one on everybody's list. These weren't just, you know, the Billy Napiers of the world who were good but always a bridesmaid. I mean, these were the top line guys. And none of them have worked out, which brings us to where we are right now. I mean, you really better know what you're doing, because if you go outside the box, and not outside the box, if you go traditional hot coach Tom Herman-esque, what are the odds? And you know, Steve Sarkisian was the hottest coach of last year. Hmm. He's hanging on by a thread right now.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. You didn't bring up Hugh Freeze, so let's do our weekly Hugh Freeze chat. Is this the off season where he goes somewhere else, or is he just satisfied at Liberty?
He's not satisfied there, and I think I think some of these jobs are. We're now getting into Hugh Freeze territory. I don't know if with Babcock at Virginia Tech would swing on him, but somebody will and somebody should. It's not going to happen in the SEC. For whatever reason, there's still this vapor cloud that follows Hugh Freeze around. But he's really a good coach. And if you can get past, and it's more the NCAA issues, I think, than the personal indiscretions. I don't think most people really care, you know, that you did whatever he's accused of doing. And there's still some debate about exactly what that is. But the NCAA issues do haunt you a little bit. But I think he can overcome that. And I think he's a coach we always forget about, because it depends on the individual, the athletic director. If you can stomach the backlash, and it's not really publicly, it's inside the beltway. It's, mm-hmm. it's from other schools and other ADs.
Yeah, speaking with Paul Feinbaum here on the DDC. So I guess another name that it seems like it's turned into a weekly on the show with you. What would it be a hit without talking about Dan Mullen? And I've got to believe in your mind, you're sitting there, you see them down 42-35 at home at the half to Samford. I can only imagine what your show would have been like this week if Florida loses that game. And even I said yesterday that, or Monday, all bets would, because I was like, well, Dan Mullen's going to get another year. He's going to be, you know, things are going to get weird and awkward, but he's going to have another year. But I was like, all bets would have been off if they lose to Samford. Like, I don't know what would have happened. What were you thinking watching them give up 50-something to Samford?
Yeah, and I think, don't focus on who won the game. We all knew Samford was eventually going to fall apart. It was the fact that they gave up 52 a week after firing the defensive coordinator. And I think, you know, had the game ended and Dan Mullen said, listen, we have a new coordinator. We did a lot of things wrong. We got two huge games left. Leave it at that. But instead, Dan Mullen can't leave things alone. He has to defend the indefensible, the fact that they were celebrating and dancing. He was touting the stats against Samford. And it's like Dan Mullen can't win because Dan Mullen always thinks he's smarter than everyone else. And then on Monday, he starts debating the media. I mean, these are things that freshmen in public relations at Vanderbilt or Tennessee or anywhere else know better than to do. And the narrative is this, Scott Strickland, the athletic director, does not want to fire him. I don't think that really matters anymore. I think it really matters is what the rest of this season looks like. You know, should he lose? I think the biggest game is Florida State because it's the last game and it means more. But even a loss at Missouri or some combination of two losses, I think he probably would be gone. I don't think you can defend him any longer. And if you believe in him, you know, what is going to be different a year from today? Florida in 2013 had Will Muschamp as the coach. They lost to Georgia Southern. Jeremy Foley, the so-called dean of the SEC, ADs, said he really deserves another chance. It was a disaster. And that's the risk you take. Is it going to be worse a year from now? But ask the AD of Tennessee a couple of years ago who decided, let's give Butch Jones another year. It will get better.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum. And Paul, as we continue to talk about coaching carousel, a name that I hear a lot now, whether it's, you know, one of the big jobs, LSU, obviously he's linked to from his past, but Washington. But Dave Aranda, who's done a nice job at Baylor, how do you view his stock right now?
Very high. And, you know, the LSU connection, I think, has to be considered strong. And, you know, I think he's legitimate anyway. I mean, this thing's about to start really clicking. And, you know, Florida, you know, if it becomes available in the next 2 weeks, just makes it even more complicated. But you have to think by now, LSU and Southern Cal have had, you know, 6 weeks to 2.5 months to get on the right page with their guys. So I think Aranda fits into all of this. He's got a strong connection at LSU. I do believe that they wanted Jimbo Fisher. It's hard to imagine that happening now. And I've never seen a coach double down more on not going someplace. And I really believe, I talked to a guy who covers the Aggies yesterday, that some of this is contrived. That instead of spending the week talking about what a poor job Jimbo did against Ole Miss, they all collectively talked about how he's not going anywhere and how they're about to have the number one recruiting class in the country, which, yeah, good. I'm happy to see it. But I've never heard a school publicly get involved in this. I mean, the official school football site tweeted Jimbo's denial. The athletic director jumped in. You tell me, guys. Usually you can't get a school to acknowledge that their coach has ever looked at elsewhere, but this school is all in on Jimbo's not going to LSU.
Do you buy Lincoln Riley, you know, downplaying the interests in the LSU job? I know he was asked about it yesterday. And what do you think the future is for him? Does he finally make the jump to the NFL, or do you think he just sticks it out at Oklahoma?
I can't believe under any circumstance why Lincoln Riley would leave Oklahoma to go to LSU. LSU is a great job, but so is Oklahoma. And to me, he just looks the part. If you look around the NFL, he looks like Kingsbury. He looks like McVay. I mean, he would be perfect in the NFL, and I think he's waiting for that. I don't know. You know, we all thought he would go to the Cowboys a couple of years ago. I mean, the Cowboys job could always be open. Maybe that's still on his mind. But I thought he shot that one down pretty with an economy of words.
Yeah, no doubt about that. How bad of a loss was Auburn to Mississippi State, considering the lead that they had?
Pretty bad, but I think in sports, the worst thing you can do, it doesn't matter what the sport is to blow a big lead. It just, you get no credit for having the lead. You get all the blame for losing it. And, 2 weeks ago, Brian Harsin was heading to College Station with an inside shot at maybe getting to the playoff with some unbelievable things happening. And now the season is spiraling out of control. And, there's no escape. And they lose not only the kicker, who's, really quality, high quality, but they lose their best player in Bo Nix, who, much maligned, but still is somebody you need if you're going to win a big game like Alabama next week.
And then did Ole Miss show you anything that you didn't know? I mean, they have the two losses, but that's a pretty good win, even though it was at home, pretty good win to take care of Texas A&M because they were surging.
It was a great win. That's a program that has never, I don't think, won 10 regular season games. We had my dog is not an Ole Miss fan.
Apparently not.
he's an Aggie all the way. Lane was on our show yesterday, and he talked about how if a couple of receivers had not been hurt earlier, they could have done this. I mean, the Rebels losing at Auburn really cost them a chance to have a lot of playoff conversation. But it's still a great year at Ole Miss.
So that wasn't Smokey?
Yeah, I saw Smokey Saturday in Knoxville. I don't know if I've ever heard Smokey bark.
Yeah, I don't know. What are your conversations like with Lane? Because, I mean, you have a pretty good BS meter, and we know that he's got a master's in that, but, I mean, that's kind of his shtick.
Yeah, but he does it in such a low-key, cerebral way. He's not a loud guy. I've interviewed him a lot, and sometimes he can really be funny and that kind of sarcastic way, and sometimes he just really are you there? I think he had a great weekend, though, the whole game day thing. He knows how to play. He's very smart. He's very aware. Lane Kiffin does not miss anything on social media. I often wonder when he has time to look at film, because I see him, you know, popping up at weird hours of the night.
I've got to be honest. I've had those same thoughts, Paul, and I'm wondering, does like he just have somebody on staff that literally monitors everything and presents it to him? Because I don't know how he does it. It does. I feel the same way. Like he misses nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, unless you're 13 years old and you spend the entire day staring at a phone, I don't know how you keep up with all this stuff because it moves so quickly. And, yeah, I think he understands that where he's made mistakes in the past. And, you know, he's just extremely popular. And I don't know, you know, where he fits into all these coaching jobs. I think he's a candidate for whatever job becomes open, but I'm not certain, you know, especially at LSU. I think that job might be out of his realm. But other than that, I could see him getting offers.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul, we always enjoy the visit. Thanks, as always. Have a great show today. Have a great week. We'll do it next week.
Appreciate it, guys. See you next week.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum. He is brought to you every Wednesday by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. You say you've got something for ESPN Plus for us
to discuss? The coaching carousel.
Okay, I don't want to look because that's what I want to know. I want to try to weigh in.
All the jobs that are open right now.
Ooh, okay. And so they're trying to connect dots. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Ooh. I like that. That's right up
it's
my
a,
alley.
I was looking through it, and it's pretty interesting.
You sound a little nasally, do you? A little stuffed.
Yeah. The weather can't decide what it wants to do.
I know.
And whenever that happens, you know that I get the sinuses. And
wait till tomorrow.
Like, oh, I know. I mean, it's just going to get worse, and you know the world in which we live now. It's like, oh no, he's got the. He's stuffed up. Like, what does that mean? It means sinuses. That's what it means.
Yeah. Something you've dealt with most of your life. But
yeah. But right. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Hanging in.
You're right. It will drop like 30 degrees tomorrow, though.
I know.
I don't know if that helps you or hurts you. I don't know.
Well, it'll clear up some of the pollen and everything.
Yeah,
but,
true.
You know, it's just the weather's drunk, so just is what it is.
All right, we'll come back. We will discuss this article on ESPN Plus on the other side. Good stuff from Paul Feinbaum as always. Jim Wyatt coming up at 11 o'clock as you listen to Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.